A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a blue planet in space, Turner. Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now in black and white film, a ragged boy sits in an alley warming his hands at a fire. Titles appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Spencer Tracy and Mickey Rooney in Boys Town. Copyright 1938, with Henry Hull, Leslie Fenton, and Gene Reynolds. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Paula Broussard and Carrie Danahy. Read by Miles Neff. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. From an original story by Dori Sherry and Eleanor Griffin. Musical score by Edward Ward. Directed by Norman Torrant. Produced by John W. Considine, Jr. Cast: Spencer Tracy as Father Flanagan, Mickey Rooney as Whitey Marsh, Henry Hull as Dave Morris, Leslie Fenton as Dan Farrow, Gene Reynolds as Tony Panessa, Edward Norris as Joe Marsh, Addison Richards as the judge, Minor Watson as the bishop, Jonathan Hale as John Hargraves, Bobs Watson as Pee-wee, Martin Spellman as Skinny, Mickey Rentschler as Tommy Anderson, Frankie Thomas as Freddie Fuller, Jimmy Butler as Paul Ferguson, Sidney Miller as Mo Khan, Robert Emmett Keane as Burton, Victor Killian as the Sheriff, and the Boys Town Acapella Choir. Words appear. This is the story of Father Flanagan and the city for boys that he built in Nebraska. There is such a place as Boys Town. There is such a man as Father Flanagan. This picture is dedicated to him and his splendid work for homeless abandoned boys, regardless of race, creed, or color. Now, a massive stone prison stands against the night sky. At a watchtower, a guard paces as searchlights circle. Inside, a guard escorts a well-dressed man. As prisoners watch from behind bars, the guard unlocks a cell where a convict sits, smoking a cigarette. The well-dressed man enters. The well-dressed man speaks.
Well, my lad, they tell me you want to confess.
Yeah.
That will help the jury. They convicted you on circumstantial evidence. Understand?
Huh? Oh, yeah, sure.
Public opinion, clear that up, too. Justice itself will feel easier.
I'm doing it because I'm scared. May help the big rap when I go through that last door.
You might as well do a real job. I have a couple of newspaper men here.
The convict grips his cell bars.
Get out, will you? Can't you stop that singing?
No. It's his turn next. You confess, he sings.
Okay. Bring on your gang.
Good. Can I do anything for you, Dan?
Yeah, how about a drink?
Okay.
As the well-dressed man pulls out a flask from his pocket, a priest approaches the cell.
Thanks.
The priest gently shakes his head and winks at the convict, who slowly draws his hand away from the flask.
Do you want to see Father Flanagan?
Sure. I asked for him. He knew me when.
The guard lets the well-dressed man out. Father Flanagan, handsome and serene, enters the cell. As the convict sits on his cot, his face buried in his hands, Flanagan puts an arm around him. The convict looks up.
How much time have I got?
Eternity begins in 45 minutes, Dan.
What happens when that door slams shut behind you?
A bad minute or two.
Yeah, I know, after that.
Oh, Dan, that's been a mystery for a million years. You can't expect to crack that in a few seconds.
Would you be afraid to die?
No.
Why not, if you don't know what happens?
Well, I've made mistakes, Dan, but I've always been sorry for them. I tried to make up for them.
If you killed a rat and it was coming to him, could you find some way to be sorry for that?
Dan, life and death should be left to the creator of life and death.
Please stay, will you?
The guard admits the well-dressed man and three others. Two take notes.
Hi, Judge.
Now, this is Lane Wellington. His column fought for you. Didn't think you were guilty.
Sorry to let you down, pal.
If you'd stuck to your guns, I'd have kept you alive for years.
I wouldn't try to be funny if I were you. This man wants to admit his debt to the state.
What's that? My debt to the state?
If you'd have done this sooner, the debt wouldn't be so big.
Is that what this is all about? You're going to take my life because I owe the state something?
When I was a kid, 12 years old, my mother died. Did I go on the cuff to the state for the gutters I slept in? Is that it?
Oh, that's just sniveling. The state reached its arms out for 3 years.
Yeah, in the reformatory. When I went in, copping a loaf of bread was the job. When I come out, I could rob a bank.
Holy cats.
Get this, big shots. I'm going out that way in a few minutes, so you're getting a lowdown. Where was the state when a lonely, starving kid cried himself to sleep in a flop house with a bunch of drunks, tramps, and hobos? Is that when this debt started?
Flanagan listens intently.
The only pals I had at Jansack with the kids in the alley. I had to be tough to string along. Just before we got out of the state's arms, the reformatory, we made up a gang. 6 of us and pals. We bet our lives across the board and let them ride. Crooks. Sure. Your mouths pop open at that one. Greek to you wise guys, ain't it? One of them turned rat for state's evidence and I killed him. But get this. One friend when I'm 12 years old and I don't stand here like this. Now go on, get out of here, you bunch of mush-brained saps. Get out. Get out.
Flanagan gently holds the convict's arms as the man weeps.
Listen, Father. I am sorry for my mistakes. I am sorry.
The convict's head drops onto Flanagan's chest. Now on a train, Flanagan sits deep in thought.
12 years old. One friend. Starving kid. Never had a chance. Reformatory.
Now, as Flanagan walks on a busy street, a dozen ragged youths run from an alley, throwing fruit.
Street, you mug! You have food for you! Get me on street, you mug!
Flanagan rushes to stop the fighting boys. At the corner, a sign reads, Father Flanagan's Refuge. One boy in a grocer's barrel throws an apple, which smacks into another boy's head. A stone shatters a pawn shop's window. The shopkeeper rushes out, agitated.
Open! Police!
A kid in Flanagan's arms gets socked. As the boys flee, Flanagan approaches the shopkeeper, who stares at the broken window.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Look, $80 smashed.
It's a shame, Dave.
Father Eddie, that place of yours draws the rats around. It's like molasses and flies.
I suppose it does.
I sleep beside a machine gun while you rock a bye baby the 40 thieves.
Flanagan pats Dave on the shoulder. Now, inside the refuge, shabbily dressed men sit at tables.
Where's this reverend? Don't we get a sermon this morning?
Hear ye, my friends. Scuff your coffee while ye may. Turn up your toes. Call it a day.
Flanagan enters. The man giving a toast doffs his hat sheepishly.
I didn't start this place to give you men a laugh. I really didn't. I thought I could help you.
Sorry, Father Flanagan.
We apologize.
Thanks for the coffee.
We all love you, Dominie. Every one of us.
Well, you can pass the word along the road that somebody else will be running the place pretty shortly. I'm leaving.
But, Father...
Ah, Weasel, you're too smart.
No, I had decided before. I spent last night, or rather this morning, with Dan Farrell. Oh. Just before he... It was too late to do very much for him. And I guess it's too late to do very much for you. I'm afraid you're satisfied with something to eat and a place to sleep.
The cops got Jimmy. Please tell them to let him go. He's my brother.
Who else have they got?
They got Tommy and they got Steve and they told me to go home.
Yeah, home. Where's your mother, Skinny?
The boy looks down, his cheeks shiny with tears.
Come on, we'll see what we can do.
Now in a courtroom.
Mr. Morris, do you know who broke your window?
Yes, Your Honor.
Pardon me, but does it really matter? It was a free-for-all. Any one of them could have done it.
What do you mean, Father?
Well, not to obstruct justice, even if I could, but one boy threw that stone, did this special damage. But he didn't mean to do it. They were all throwing things. They were all excited.
Well, I'm trying to reduce it to a definite charge.
That's what I was afraid of, Your Honor.
Well, none of us want to abuse children.
But we do, nevertheless.
The business of the court is to take care of the honest citizen. No, I have a high regard for you, but...
Your Honor, these boys were arrested this morning. It's 3:30. Has anybody come forward to say one good word for them? Father, mother, uncle, sister, anybody?
Well, you're saying quite a few.
And I'll go on until you take back the privilege you've granted me.
You heard Mr. Calateri.
May I question him?
Certainly. Sit down, Mr. Morris.
Thank you.
Mr. Calateri.
Yes, Father.
Tommy, stand up. Now, Tommy came in to buy some salami.
Yes. I've wrapped my salon. I put him down. He say half a dozen eggs. I turn around to get the eggs. I coming back. Where is my salami? No salami and no Tommy.
But you didn't really see Tommy steal the salami, did you?
Sure. My nice fresh salami. She no walk away.
And the police found the salami and some bread, some other things. There's no doubt about their being stolen. There's also no doubt that these boys should be taken off the street for their own good.
And sent to the reformatory. I'm wondering if you want to do that to homeless boys just on circumstantial evidence.
Well, what do you want me to do? There's the salami and there's Mr. Calateri.
They can have my salami. I give it to them free for present. But next time, please, not the imported.
There won't be any next time.
You should have studied law, Father.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, I guess that's... Oh, unless my good friend wants to identify the boy who threw the rock.
My window was smashed. $80 gone to someplace. But I... Well, I can't say who did it positively.
Father Flanagan, what's in your mind?
I'll assume full responsibility for these boys if you place them in my charge. I'll give them a home, I'll see to their schooling, and I'll guarantee their good conduct.
The judge looks to the shopkeepers inquisitively. The men nod.
Well, I think you're letting yourself in for a lot of trouble, but I'll give it a chance. I release these boys into your custody.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And good luck to you.
Thank you. Come on, boys.
Outside the courthouse.
You're one of the finest fellas in town. Why in the name of all that's holy don't you want to meet nice people?
Well, Dave, I know you.
Father, do you want this?
What is it, son?
It's a puzzle. You have to jiggle it around till you get the eyes in the sockets. Oh,
the priest takes the tiger face toy.
Thank you very much, Skinny. I'll have a lot of fun with this. Oh, Dave. Come on. Dave, could you take the boys over to your place and keep them there a little while?
Sure. What?
I've got an important call to make.
All right, gentlemen, get in.
Five boys pile into the convertible's back seat.
Tommy, you better sit up in the front seat. On second thought, you better all sit up in the front seat. You gotta feel safer.
They all squeeze into the front.
Dave, I'll see you a little later.
Could you make it a little sooner?
You want me to drive Mr. Moore?
Now, Flanagan sits in an office with a bishop.
I gave you permission 3 years ago for your refuge. You thought you could do a lot of good.
Well, I have the right to a mistake or two, haven't I, Bishop?
And now you want to do something I think is harder to do. Certainly more unorthodox.
That's true.
So I'm going to assign you to a parish. That's good work. And you're a good man.
Don't make the decision yet, please.
Why not? Why, you'd dream the best part of your life away if I'd let you.
But I'm not dreaming. There's one thing I know, I really know. And that is that there's no such thing in the world as a bad boy. I'm sure of that.
Do you realize the fight you want to take on?
I know that a mother can take a whip to the toughest boy in the world and he forgets it because he knows that she loves him. I know the fight, and I haven't anything to do it with except faith. But with your kind permission, I would rather have it than the parish.
I can't help you. We have no arrangement for outside things like this.
The bishop smiles and rises to his feet.
But you have my permission. How are you beginning?
First, I must rent a house. No doubt fumigate and launder it. Bishop, I shall never forget this.
My blessing.
Flanagan kisses the bishop's ring.
Hello.
In the pawn shop.
Thought you got lost.
No. I had a little chat with my bishop. I rented a house.
Oh, you're renting houses now, eh?
Yes, of course I have to pay something down, so I need a little money.
A little money, yeah.
$100.
$100? What security have you got?
Well, let's see.
Flanagan checks his vest and jacket and takes out a small pocket watch. Dave eyes it skeptically.
You want $100 for this?
Yes.
Dave pulls out a tray with a dozen pocket watches.
Look, you can have any one of those for 65 cents. And any one of them is better than yours. And you want $100.
I need the money very badly.
Mm-hmm. With merchandise like that, I need it worse than you do. Got anything else?
Flanagan shifts sadly, then brightens. He reaches into a pocket and pulls out the small tiger face toy. Dave inspects it, then glares at Flanagan incredulously.
That's a 10-cent toy.
Yeah, you can have a lot of fun with it.
Not $100 worth, I can't. Have you got any other security?
Every boy who becomes a good American citizen is worth $10,000 to the state. That's a fact. I have good authority for it.
I'm sorry, but $100 for a bum watch like this and a hunk of tin with a couple of ball bearings.
All right, Dave. I don't blame you for turning me down. Thanks, just the same. I'll try someplace else.
Wait a minute.
Dave reaches stoically into his pocket.
Couldn't you make a good American for $50?
Flanagan shakes his head. Dave counts out a few more bills.
All right. There's your $100.
Flanagan offers the watch and toy.
Well, you keep the watch. I'll keep this.
I'll redeem that someday with the interest.
Dave pockets the toy.
Here, sign this.
Dave hands him a receipt book.
No, don't sign it.
Thanks.
He looks the priest square in the eyes.
Now, you'd better leave before I change my mind.
I'm not afraid of that, Dave. Now, I wonder if you could show me some furniture. You know, chairs and tables and stuff like that.
$100 worth?
I got a little list here that I made out. There.
All right.
I suppose when your boys grow up, they'll break bigger and better windows.
Five boys smile from a bench.
Certainly on their good behavior, aren't they?
Ten chairs.
The two men begin selecting furniture. Later.
There's two. What does the whole thing come to?
$220.
I'll give you $150 for the lot.
It's a deal. For $200.
Right. $160, not a cent more.
Might cost me almost that much. Make it $190.
No.
Say, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm bargaining with my own money. I'm losing two ways on the deal.
Here's $50 down payment.
Oh, you're offering me $50 of my own money as down payment on my own furniture. No. Oh, well, all right. What's the use of my taking the 50? You'll only come around for it again tomorrow.
Here's the address.
You mind if I throw you out?
Now, look. Tonight, just before you go to sleep, you're going to like yourself. A lot.
I'll send the furniture over. Then I'm going to a doctor and get my head examined.
Come on, boys, we're going home.
The boys show their arms. They're handcuffed. Later on a porch, the priest nails up a sign with a rock. Father Flanagan's home for boys.
Father Flanagan?
Yes.
I'm from the Morning Herald. My editor, Mr. Hargrave, sent me over to see what you're doing.
Well, right now we're putting up a little sign that Tommy made.
Yes, sir. We thought we might get some pictures.
Some pictures?
Hey, Philip! Come on, we're going to get our pictures took. Bring Father Flanagan's coat.
Four boys scurry out and join Tommy beside Father Flanagan. The priest glances at the rock in his hand.
Here, get rid of the rock. Here, hold the rock. Hold it, don't throw it.
He hands it to a grinning boy.
Come right in there, close. That's right.
Put the rock behind your back. Big smile now. Okay, Jerry?
Okay. All right.
Big smile.
Still.
As Flanagan and the boys smile, the image becomes a newspaper photo with the headline, Father Flanagan launches unique home for town boys. Later, snow falls on bundled newspapers that read, Merry Christmas, Santa Claus here today. On the page, a story begins, failure darkens hopes of priests to succor youth. Public support lacking as Father Flanagan pleads in vain for funds. Now, outside the home for boys, people walk the snowy sidewalks carrying gifts. One man holds a brand new bicycle. One of Flanagan's boys stares out a frosty window, his nose pressed up to the glass. He smiles as he spots Father Flanagan.
Here he comes! Here he comes!
Hey, wait a minute, Philip! Hey, you know what we planned. Come on, get your places. Come on, we got to sing. Come on.
The boys stand in a group like a choir.
Now, all together?
As the boys sing with beaming faces, Flanagan looks on, expressionless. Slowly, he steps into the long room lined with beds. He carries a wrapped package, and an open sack is slung over his shoulder.
Sleep in heaven, we see.
Flanagan glumly pulls a broken wood scooter from the sack. Tommy stops conducting. As Father Flanagan pulls out a battered toy truck, the boys gather around him.
That was a very nice reception, boys. Thank you very much. Tommy, would you take that out in the kitchen?
What is it?
It's good food, and there's enough there for all of us.
What is it?
What is it?
It's good cornmeal mush. Not a tummy ache in a carload.
The boys stare sadly at Flanagan.
What else you got in the bag?
Well, I don't know exactly. I kind of picked these things up hither and yon.
Once I got a sleigh.
Oh, shut up.
I thought you said if we were good, everybody'd help us.
Well, I did say that, Skinny. Well, maybe it'll take another Christmas to make friends for us.
Gosh, if we was on reform school, it ain't mush for Christmas.
Tommy, are we going to forget what we're trying to do?
Gee, if I was home, my old man might wallop me. But we'd have turkey Christmas.
Well, Christmas has other meanings, hasn't it, Bob?
Listen, I get a turkey easy. It's a cinch. Everybody's busy.
Bob. You should get down on your knees and ask pardon for a thought like that on Christmas Eve.
The boys walk away, their heads downcast.
Jingle bell, all the way.
Mr. Orr!
Tommy runs to open the front door.
Merry Christmas, Tommy!
Merry Christmas, Mr. Morris!
His arms are full of wrapped gifts.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas, everybody!
Merry Christmas, Mr.
Morris! Yes, turkey!
Merry Christmas!
And presents for everybody!
As the boys grab gifts, Dave turns to Flanagan.
Well, am I late?
If ever in the world a man was on time.
Now, everybody sing!
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way! Oh, what fun it is to ride!
Now, leafy trees line the street outside. Words appear. Father Flanagan and his boys celebrate their first anniversary. Dave drives up. Dozens of boys play out front. Inside the house, now filled with beds, Dave approaches Flanagan as the priest finishes bandaging a youngster's wrist.
Hello.
Hello, Dave.
Hello. I came over as soon as I could. What's up?
Well, now, let's get out of here, Dave. It's pretty noisy. Several new boys came in last week. We're suffocating here.
Now, look, Eddie, just what do you want?
Dave, it's grand to see you. You certainly have had a wonderful year, haven't you?
They walk outside.
It's been a wonderful year for both of them.
Eddie, did you pay all your bills last month?
Oh, yeah, sure, most of them. Hey, Skinny, what did I tell you about biting your nails? A few little odds and ends, but I'll get the money for that.
Uh-huh, that's what I was afraid of.
Oh, no, Dave. That isn't why I wanted to see you. No, I want you to take me for a little drive. I want to show you something.
I'm a busy man.
That's just it, Dave. Now, you've been working too hard with the new store and everything. A little drive in the country will relax you. Just what you need. Just what we both need.
Uh-huh.
Bye, Father Flanagan!
Goodbye, boys.
Bye. They get into Dave's convertible.
Bye, Father Flanagan!
Now, the two men drive down a country lane edged with tall trees. They stop alongside a rustic fence with a for sale sign on it. A barn and farmhouse sit uphill along a dirt driveway. Flanagan gets out, then leads Morris over to a view of grassy farmland that stretches to the horizon.
Lovely country, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Over 200 acres here, rich, fine soil. You really live and breathe out here.
What about it?
I want to buy it. Now look, Dave, I can get it cheap. Just look at it, Dave. We could build a real town for the boys here. They could have gardens, dormitories, gymnasiums, classrooms.
Mortgages and bills and debts.
Be reasonable. First you started with 5 boys, then it was 20, then it was 50. With this place, you'd be looking for 100 boys.
500.
All right, 500. What? How are you going to get the money? How are you going to do it? It's crazy.
Well, maybe you're right.
Dave stops in his tracks and gawks.
What did you say?
Maybe you're right.
Eddie, don't you feel well?
Oh. Maybe it's just a dream that I'll never see fulfilled. Seems a shame, though. A lot of boys cheated out of the chance to live a nice, decent life out in the open where they belong.
Stop it. How many acres?
Over 200.
But you can't handle as big a thing as this without a lot of public support. Contributions.
I haven't been a bad risk so far, have I?
No, you paid back everything. How? I don't know. It isn't that. But this time you're biting off more than you can chew. Well, the newspapers aren't friendly to you as it is. What do you think they'll say about this?
I know. Well, what do you suggest?
Hargraves. He owns the most powerful string of newspapers in the Middle West.
And he's a tough nut to crack.
You get Hargraves behind you, and maybe I can handle it.
Flanagan offers Dave the tiger face toy.
Dave? All right, here you are. It's a bargain.
Nothing doing. Not till you get Hargraves.
Now, in an office.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How do you do, Father?
Good morning, Mr. Hargraves.
We haven't met before, but I know of you.
Well, that shortens preliminaries.
Can I help you?
Do you want to?
If you mean, do I endorse your work? I don't, I'm sorry to say.
Well, that's all right. But why do you go out of your way to hurt me?
There's a feeling in official circles that you're setting up a tacit criticism of things as they are.
Well, there was the same feeling when Newton suspected the law of gravitation.
There's also a feeling that the sooner you're discouraged, the better. For yourself, too. No one questioned your intentions.
But I'm paving the lower regions, huh? Mr. Hargraves, I have 50 boys I've taken from the slums and the streets. Right now, they're on the way to becoming confident human beings. I can do the same with 500.
Boys like that get their chances in institutions.
Oh, you know better than that.
Do I, Father Flanagan?
You have a string of newspapers. You get reports on human derelicts. You know the percentage of boys who survive institutions. Surely you must know, you above all men. And you have no right to hinder me in helping children.
It's pretty stiff, Father.
What little I've done, I've done on nothing. These boys, thieves, some of them, have gone without clothes. They've even gone without food. But not one of them has deserted. Not one. Because they know what I'm trying to do to help them.
But there are some impossible young beasts who have to be manicured. Look at this.
He hands Flanagan a newspaper.
11-year-old boy convicted, guilty of murder in the second degree. Jury renders verdict after 35 minutes deliberation. Court will sentence him to life in prison.
Semi-equipped young savage who's right where he ought to be. You'll admit that, won't you?
This boy saw his mother being brutally beaten by a drunken father, so he took a gun and killed him. Suppose a man kills because his wife's been unfaithful. Temporary insanity. But an 11-year-old, just a savage.
What do you want of me?
I want your help for homeless boys. I want you to let the world know what I'm trying to do.
No, I'm afraid I can't do that.
Why not?
Because I don't believe in what you're trying to do. The very foundation is false. No such thing as a bad boy. That's just a catchphrase, sentimental nonsense. Of course, you know you're flying in the face of the very best of public opinion.
I've seen you do that. You lead public opinion.
On my convictions, you want me to throw them out the window. A whole lot of good people feel just as I do. We're not unchristian monsters.
Well, if I'm right, you're pretty close to it, and so far I've proven my case. Mr. Hargraves, when you got into trouble at 11 or 12 years of age, you had your mother, or you had your father, to put their arms around you, to talk things over with. Can you imagine the fright and the loneliness of a boy without that love and understanding? This poor kid, in prison for life. I want a home for them where they can stay, where they can learn. A town for boys, governed by boys. It's worth a shot, isn't it?
Your sincerity is worth a shot. Father, I'm not going to fight a plan as unselfish as yours. But understand, when you fail, I'll use you for a lesson in horse sense to the world at large.
Fair enough.
Now, busy hands open envelopes and shake out money, which fills a cash box. Later, an unrolled construction blueprint covers a table. Its label, Father Flanagan's Home for Boys, Omaha, Nebraska. Now at a construction site. As boys mark a foundation with stakes and strings, Flanagan beams. Teenage boys grab pickaxes and shovels and set to work loosening the earth and digging trenches. Trucks unload lumber, brick, and cement. As boys pour water into a mixer, others haul bricks. Adult workers saw planks, scoop trowels and mortar, and stack rows of bricks into walls. Together, Flanagan and a boy pull on a rope and hoist a bucket to the high scaffolding above. Now, a massive five-story building gleams in the sun. Its arched entry is topped with a cross and a sign with raised letters that read, Father Flanagan's Boys Home. Under a rippling flag, boys play brass instruments as others rush to a table spread with cookies and punch. Later, three mortgage documents lie out on a table. Flanagan signs them and smiles.
There we are, Dave. We've got three fine new buildings. A grand beginning.
Yes, sir. And three fine mortgages might make a grand finish.
Oh, we've had mortgages before.
Yes, little ones. But look at the sweating you've done to raise nickels, dimes, quarters, penny contributions. Now you've got to get dollars, hundreds, thousands.
Oh, wait a minute, Dave. Wait a minute. This doesn't have to be paid today.
No, but the day will come.
Oh,
now, Eddie, I know. I know you've always been in debt. Debt's up to your knees. This time it's up to here.
Oh, it might not be as bad as that.
You've got to stop thinking from here and think from here a little bit. Now, Eddie, come on. Let's look at the figures, averages, and see what we can set aside.
Father, we'll have to go now if you're going to make that train.
Oh, my goodness, I forgot all about it. I'll be right with you, Paul.
Now where are you going?
A boy in the state penitentiary wants to see me. He's in for life.
Yes, and you're in for life, too.
Dave smacks the mortgage papers with his hand. Outside, Flanagan walks to a bus.
Bye, Mo.
Oh, goodbye, Father. Have a nice trip, Father.
Thank you. Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, Father.
Oh, Pee-wee, Pee-wee. Are you going to be a good boy while I'm away?
Can I get my candy when you're away?
Freddie, every day Pee-wee gets a piece of candy in my office if he's a good boy. Of course, if he isn't a good boy, then he won't expect it. Because Pee-wee is an honorable man, aren't you, Pee-wee?
Freddy, goodbye, time, Father.
Bye, Father. Bye, Father. Nice trip.
Bye.
At the penitentiary.
Father Flanagan, Warden.
This is Joe Marsh. He leaves for a federal prison today.
Hello, Joe.
Hi.
I'm letting you use my office, Father.
I appreciate that.
The guard will let you know when the time is up. Would you like them to stay?
No, I don't think that's necessary.
See you later.
Flanagan smiles at the prisoner, a dark-haired man in his 30s.
I'm sorry I couldn't get here sooner, Joe, but I was up to my ears in work when your letter came.
Yeah, nursemaid for a couple of hundred kids ain't no cinch.
That's right, no cinch.
Look, I didn't want to see you for none of them phony prayers. Nothing like that. I got something else on my mind.
All right, go ahead, shoot.
Get this. I ain't sorry for nothing.
Well, everybody has a right to look at things in their own way.
You bet. I went my own way and I got to be head man, didn't I? Guys took off their hats when I told them to, and there are plenty of them still scared that maybe I might bust out of this joint.
Well, now, look, you didn't have me come all the way from Boys Town just to lord it over me, did you? What's on your mind?
I got a kid brother, Whitey. I've been taking care of him ever since my old lady died. Well, he's batty about me. You know, thinks I'm aces. Wants to be number one, like me. But he ain't got what it takes. He'd turn out to be a 5-10 mug. That's where you come in.
You want me to take him to Boys Town?
That's it. The warden's got $280 I had on me. It's all yours. He'll tell you where to find Whitey. He's here in Lincoln.
Well, we're overcrowded, but I guess I can find room for one more.
He's pretty tough. You may have to kick him around.
I doubt that.
The guards return.
Sorry, time's up.
Goodbye, Joe.
So long.
Later, a cab stops by a walk-up apartment building. Flanagan gets out and glances at the driver.
Wait here, I'll be right down.
The priest jogs up the front steps. Inside, a young boy slides down a banister. Flanagan, on his way toward a closed door, greets him.
Hello, son.
Hello, Father.
As he knocks, five teens inside smoke and play cards.
Annie, two.
Two?
You heard it.
Gee, I haven't had a hand yet.
I'm sitting in a rummy seat myself over here.
One guy reaches for some poker chips.
Keep your hands to yourself, shorty.
A round-faced kid scolds him.
See who it is. What's it worth?
Two.
That's all it's worth.
Hello, Father. Hello, boys.
Four boys stand.
Hi, Doc.
The round-faced kid stays seated.
Which one of you is Whitey Marsh?
The seated one puffs on his cigarette.
I've got a message for Whitey. I'd like to deliver it to him alone.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm out about a buck ten. Come on back here.
Four boys rush out, leaving Flanagan with the cocky one, Whitey. The teen smirks, then sticks his cigarette in his lips and puts his feet up on a table. Flanagan glares. He swipes the boy's feet down, yanks the cigarette away, and pulls the teen up from the chair by the collar. Flanagan sits.
There. That's better.
I'm Father Flanagan. I saw your brother Joe just a little while ago. We had a long talk about you, Whitey. Joe wants you to come with me to Boys Town.
You've got a swell chance taking me to that joint.
That's right, a swell chance. I've got $280 your brother gave me to take care of you.
I don't care if he gave you $1 million. What am I going to do in a broken-down nursery like Boys Town?
Oh, there are a lot of things you could do. We've got machine shops, carpenter shops, we've got printing presses, farming. You know, I think you might like farming. It's good for you. Keep you out in the open. Put hair on your chest.
If you think you're going to make a plow jockey out of me, you got another thing coming.
Now, look, Whitey, in a pinch, I can be tougher than you are, and I guess maybe this is the pinch. You're coming with me to Boys Town because that's the way your brother wants it. And that's the way I want it.
Whitey races for the door. Flanagan trips him. The boy looks up stunned, then fakes a grimace.
Oh, my arm! Oh, my poor arm! You broke my arm! You better get me to a hospital. I can't go nowhere.
Flanagan grins to himself, then helps Whitey to his feet.
Oh, my arm! Poor broken arm!
Well, let's see. Where does it hurt?
Take it easy, will
you? Right here?
Yeah, right there.
Well, I guess we can fix that.
Whitey scrambles to leave. Flanagan grabs him and thrusts him in the chair.
Now, why don't you stop acting like a kid, Whitey?
Nighttime. A train steams past farmland. Inside, Joe Marsh sits handcuffed to a sleeping escort. Marsh slowly slips his hand free and stands. The escort wakes, and Marsh slugs him. Now, Whitey and Flanagan arrive at the sunny Omaha Union Station.
Hello, Father.
Hello, Ma. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Father.
How's everything, Ma?
Oh, couldn't be better. Everything's Jake.
Good. That's cheerful. Whitey, this is Mo Kahn, our second baseman and barber. Mo, this is Whitey Marsh.
Hello.
Hi, Eagle Beak.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna have trouble. Say, where are you from?
You probably got that big schnoz sticking it into somebody else's business.
It's coming.
Come on, boys. Come on, now. Hurry up.
As Mo turns to board the bus, Whitey pulls him back and goes first. Mo stamps aboard. The Boys Town bus pulls off. Later on the road.
So how far is this place from Omaha?
About 10 miles.
10 miles? Hey, what, are we stuck out of this place all the time and we ever get into town?
Oh, once in a while. Football game or baseball game. Some special occasion. This is Birchwood Drive. This is the main road leading to the home.
Leads out too, don't it?
As the bus pulls in, boys converge upon it from all directions and crowd Flanagan as he steps out. Whitey exits the bus and swaggers in his hat and double-breasted suit.
Boys, this is Whitey Marsh.
Hi!
Whitey, I won't introduce you to all these fellas. You probably couldn't remember their names anyway.
Okay by me. Got a lunch counter? When do we eat?
When the bell rings.
Hello, Father.
Hello, Freddy. Whitey, this is one boy you have to meet. This is Freddy Fuller, the mayor of Boys Town.
Hello, Whitey.
Hiya.
I'll put him in your charge.
Yes, Father. This way, Whitey.
Okay. I don't like a lot of kids looking at me like I was a freak or something.
He eyes one boy, then shoulders his way through the crowd.
Come on, gangway in here. Come on. Open it up, buddy.
Boys, something tells me we're going to have to use a lot of patience with Whitey. But I don't think he's half as tough as he thinks he is.
Hey, Reb, take this bag of Whitey's, will you?
Service, huh?
Whitey mimics a statue's upheld arms.
Mammy! Mammy!
Now I'll show you around.
Do you have to do that?
That's what we do.
Whitey mockingly extends his elbow. Freddy ignores him.
Hello, Pee-wee.
Grab him kind of young, don't you?
Hey, what's your name?
Pee-wee tries to hold Whitey's hand.
This is Pee-wee. He's sort of a mascot around here. Everybody likes Pee-wee.
Yeah, I know, except I don't like kids hanging around me.
He shoos the boy away.
What's your name?
His name's Whitey.
Hello, Whitey.
Whitey gives him a pocket knife.
Here, cut yourself a pair of diapers.
See, for me? That's well.
Whitey pulls out cigarettes.
Over there's the band room where the fellas practice.
Got any poker players in the mob?
No smoking, Whitey.
Oh, just plain nice boys, huh?
Hey, Whitey, yeah, I bet you can't do this.
Pee-wee tries a handstand.
Yeah, watch this, kid. Step back, will you? Give me the room.
He balances on one shoulder with his legs up.
You're wonderful.
What, are you kidding?
He stands, straightens his hat and jacket, then struts on.
Hey, what's a skyscraper over there?
That's our own branch of the United States Post Office.
Well, well, well. What do you know about that?
Mom, I'm tired.
Listen, Pee-wee, why don't you stay here and play mumbly peg with your new knife? I can't carry you.
Oh, Mo, come on. I'm tired.
Mo lets Pee-wee ride piggyback.
Okay, here we go. Oh, attaboy.
Sucker. On a clear day, you can see Omaha from here.
Yeah? Then what do you got?
Now, Freddy leads the group past a field.
That's our baseball field over there. One of our players has just been signed by the St. Louis Browns.
I like the Yankees.
You would.
Hey, how did you get to be mayor? Did Flanagan make you mayor?
No, Father Flanagan didn't. I was elected by ballot. We have an election every 6 months.
I voted for you, Freddy.
I know you did, Pee-wee. Thanks.
Just like playing house, huh?
Say, Whitey, you carry me for a while, will you?
Nah, I might drop you. Hey, there must be a lot of kids taking on the lam around here with no fences or anything.
No, there never was a wall or a fence around this place. Father Flanagan once told us that a fence can't keep a fella in if you don't want to stay in. So I worked on the honor system.
Honor system? Guy'd be a dope to try to do anything around here with 200 spies ready to run and tell teacher.
There's no squealing. Whenever you do anything wrong, you just go to Father Flanagan and squeal on yourself.
Hey, you want to know something? I think you and Father Flanagan and this whole joint is screwy.
I got this, Whitey. You think you're a lot different from the rest of us, well, you're not. We got a lot of tough guys in this place. Guys that'll take you apart and put you together again like a watch.
Anytime you get an idea like that, just let me know.
You can depend on that, Whitey. When I get the idea, I'll let you know.
Say, Whitey, Father Flanagan wants to see you in his office right away.
Oh, I was having such a good time. Well, see you later, Mayor.
Whitey flicks the edge of his hat.
Come in.
In Flanagan's office, Pee-wee motions for Whitey to remove his hat. Whitey takes it off, and Pee-wee leads him over to Flanagan's desk with a smile on his face.
All right, Pee-wee, go.
Pee-wee starts opening desk drawers.
Oh, you're cold, Pee-wee. Getting colder.
He pulls open the center drawer.
Warm, warm. Oh, you're red hot, Pee-wee.
Flanagan pulls out a box of candy. Pee-wee chooses.
Yeah, you took the biggest piece, didn't you? So you've been a good boy, have you, Pee-wee?
Yes, Father.
Well, now, do you know what I think? I think you've been extra good. And that makes a great deal of difference around here when you're extra good. Then everybody's happy, aren't they, Pee-wee? There.
He fills Pee-wee's pocket with candy.
For a really good boy?
Yes, Father. Thank you. Can I sit in the leather chair, Father?
You bet your life. I'd love to have you sit in the leather chair. Go ahead, Pee-wee.
The little boy bounces onto the chair. Flanagan offers some candy to Whitey. The surly teen ignores him. Flanagan takes a piece and pops it in his mouth.
Well, how do you like the place, Whitey?
The more I see of it, the more I don't like it.
Well, you will like it.
I'm clearing out of here the first chance I get.
There's a chance for that any hour of the day or night, Whitey. My hunch is, though, you won't take it.
I'll give you odds on that.
If I was a betting man, I'd take you up on that.
Is that all?
That's all.
Flanagan watches Whitey leave. Pee-wee gets off the big leather chair and grins as he holds up the pocket knife.
I like Whitey, Father.
You and I, we like everybody, don't we, Pee-wee?
He give me this.
He gave you that?
Yes, he gave it to me. Goodbye, Father.
In the hall, he meets Dave and another man.
Hello, Mr. Moore.
Hello, Pee-wee. What you got, the mumps?
No, candy. Say, what's your name?
Oh, this is Mr. Burton, Pee-wee.
Hiya, Mr. Burton.
He's the chairman of Father Flanagan's board.
I'm gonna be mayor someday.
Burton smiles as Pee-wee saunters off, his head held high. As the men enter Flanagan's office, they find the priest gazing out a window.
Oh, Eddie, there's a little matter of reading in the financial statement.
In other words, a deficit.
You have a rather bad situation here.
Yes, we have a boy in trouble.
Something new, eh? There's always a boy in trouble. If we don't attend to this, there'll be a lot of boys in trouble.
Outside, Whitey passes the Boys Town statue.
Have all that stuff laid out in the gymnasium, and then we won't waste...
Look.
Freddy and another boy spot Whitey walking toward the highway. In his office, Flanagan rushes to the phone.
Hello, kitchen? Mr. Brown, how soon will lunch be ready? Well, ring the bell right away, will you please? And give it two or three extra rings. Right.
Out on the roadside, Whitey leans on his suitcase, thumbing for a ride. A passing car stops, and he opens the front passenger door. Glancing over his shoulder, he sees dozens of Boys Town residents racing off in one direction. Whitey follows, hurrying back. From his office window, Flanagan beams as he sees Whitey returning at a sprint. Dave sits idly playing with a tin tiger face toy. Flanagan takes it from him. He rotates it lightly, and two ball bearings drop into the indented sockets for the eyes. He shows the toy to Burton. Now, in the busy cafeteria, Whitey looks for a seat among the long, crowded tables. He finds an empty place, pulls out the chair, and goes to sit. Behind him, another boy quickly slips into the seat and glares. Whitey spots Freddy seated at the table.
Hello, Your Honor. Finished your tour?
The bell saved you, didn't it, buddy?
Whitey, you're sitting beside me.
All right, have fun.
Pee-wee leads Whitey to two empty seats, and Freddy wraps a gavel on the table. As the boys bow their heads, Whitey starts to spoon out some stew, then looks around.
We thank thee, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we have received from the merciful God.
Heavenly Father, I thank thee for this food.
Mo puts on a yarmulke. A dark-haired boy stares ahead with a stoic gaze. Whitey sneers.
What's the matter? Can't you all learn the same words?
Don't have to. You say the kind of grace you want to say.
At Boys Town, everybody worships as they please. Think the way they want to think.
Sure, some of us don't have to go to chapel.
If you're a Catholic or a Protestant, you can go right on being one.
Well, I'm nothing.
Then you can go right on being nothing, and nobody cares.
Thanks. Hey, who's the swell mob in the back there?
They're the commissioners.
In the gravy, huh? How'd they get there? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo?
No, elections. We vote for them.
How cute. Wonder how they'd like to move over. Oh, don't reach for that one, fellas. It's a mile over your heads.
Now in an auditorium. In the audience, Pee-wee nods off in the crook of Freddy's arm. Next to Whitey, Mo hums along with the soloist. Whitey elbows him.
Let him sing. He's doing all right.
Flanagan listens proudly and trades a pleased glance with a teen beside him. Whitey spots Pee-wee sleeping and laughs. He taps Freddy.
He's nobody's fool.
Freddy eyes Whitey impatiently, then returns his gaze to the choir. Pee-wee wakes up. As the boys fold their chairs, one boy with a lame leg drops his.
Here, let me help you, Gimpy.
Oh, let go. I can do it alone.
Come on.
Let me alone. I don't need any help. I tell you,
oh,
I can manage.
Like what's the matter with that lug? I was only trying to help him.
For a smart guy, you're an awful sap.
Whitey, give me a piggyback.
I ain't helping nobody.
Whitey walks off. The lame boy carries his chair to a stack against the wall. Flanagan approaches him and gently strokes the boy's shoulders.
He didn't mean any harm, Tony.
I know that, Father.
The boy bursts into tears and clings to Flanagan.
That's a good idea. I do it myself sometimes.
Do you suppose I'll ever have any sense?
Why, sure, Tony. You've got a lot of sense. Of course, you have to exercise it so it'll grow.
People will always be trying to help me. I want to do things myself.
Then why not? I'm counting on you to be the mayor of Boys Town.
Tony brightens briefly.
No. They want a fellow who's good at football or baseball. Somebody they can cheer.
Tony, there's a true story about a man who was very ill for a long time. But he had courage. He got well. People began to cheer him for a lot of things. And he became the president of the United States.
And I only want to be the mayor of Boys Town someday.
Good night.
Good night, Flot.
Tony presses his cheek to Flanagan's chest, then leaves. Flanagan stares after him affectionately. Now, in a large room full of beds, boys in pajamas lie down.
Hiya, Tony.
Hello, Mo.
Hey, Hillbilly. Everything's set.
Freddy tucks in Pee-wee.
Huh, kid stuff.
Good night, Pee-wee.
Here he comes now.
All the boys fake sleeping as Whitey strolls into the room. The lights suddenly go out.
Who's a smart guy to douse the lights?
A boy jerks at him.
Boom! Ah, ah.
Whitey slaps the kid in the forehead.
Bunch of wise guys in here, huh?
He opens a window and stretches in the breeze.
Ah. Ah.
He glances at the boys, then resumes.
Ah.
He kicks off his slippers and jumps onto his bed. Pee-wee tries to warn him. The bed collapses under him.
Very funny, boys. Very funny.
Daytime at the barber shop. Mo buffs his shoes.
Come on, White Wings. I want to get trimmed.
Okay. Trimmed is right.
Mo whisks a bib around Whitey and takes out scissors and a comb. Pretending to trim Whitey's hair, he clips at the air.
Yes, sir, Snappy, says I. Nice and neat now, my man. None of that egghead business, get me?
Oh, by the way, how did you enjoy your golf?
That joke died last night. Leave it lay.
What shall we discuss, your lordship?
This great little metropolis, Boys Town. I'm afraid I'm beginning to like it here.
Oh, goody, goody.
Yes, sir. In fact, I think I might even stay.
A light trim. How's about it?
Mo holds up a mirror.
Not bad. No, sir. Not bad at all. Now, give me a massage.
Oh, I thought you were kidding.
I ain't kidding. The works, baby. The whole works. Going down.
As Whitey reclines his chair, Mo looks around. He spots shoe polish.
Okay, boss. I'm going to...
I ain't crazy about Barber's Gabin.
All right, close your eyes.
I got big problems to figure out. Tremendous ones. So button it up and do your stuff.
Now, you just ruminate about those big plans.
That's it. You just grow up to be one of them big, strong, silent type of men.
Mo covers Whitey's face with black shoe polish.
Not for long. I'm looking the gang over to see who's all right for my big plans. I believe in organization. When I start picking my gang, you'd better hop on the bandwagon, White Wings.
There's roll call.
Roll call? Where's that?
Right back at the dormitory. I'll finish you later.
Whitey
right.
Throws Mo an imaginary coin.
Here, buddy. Keep the change.
Now at roll call.
Morris!
Yes, sir!
Murphy!
Yes, sir!
Marsh!
The boys look around.
Whitey Marsh! Marsh!
Whitey arrives, black-faced.
Whitey Marsh?
Here. Here, sir. Here, sir.
Freddy wipes polish off Whitey's cheek, then shows him. Whitey glares.
Whitey!
He runs across the lawn. At the barbershop, the door closes. A sign swings on a hook. Closed for today. Be back tomorrow. Whitey disappears inside, closing the door behind him. Now, outside a school office, Mo turns his face to reveal a black eye. As he starts to enter, Whitey pulls him back and goes first. Inside, they stand before Freddy, Flanagan, and four other boys of the commission who all sit at a table. Pee-wee tries to sneak in, and a boy guarding the door pulls him out.
Mr. Mayor, if it please the court.
Yes, Father Flanagan.
Whitey, the laws of Boys Town are made by this body and enforced by this body. The law doesn't require anything of a boy that isn't good for all of us. We have to respect each other if we're going to like each other, and living here together as we all do, we have to like each other if we're going to get along. We've been years building up the rules that we live by, and if you break them, you have to answer for it here in our court. You cannot escape it in Boys Town.
Whitey salutes.
Okay.
Mo, there was a fight in your barbershop this morning.
Yes, sir.
That was no fight.
I'll get to you in a minute. Mo?
Well, he came slamming in my shop.
Who struck the first blow?
The first blow? What, are you kidding? There was only one blow.
Careful, Whitey. There are extra charges for contempt of court.
Okay.
Mo?
Well, he started riding me the second he struck here. Last night in the dormitory, he... Well, he kept on doing it. Then this morning he comes into my shop and he says... Hey, White Wings, give me a haircut, a massage. The whole works, baby, the whole works.
Yeah, and he sent me out looking like a mammy singer, and I don't take that from anybody. That's why I slouted him.
Any questions?
No questions.
Did you ever milk a cow?
Did I ever what?
It'll take him a day or so to learn. For a month, you will milk one cow a day, night and morning.
You mean that I'm going to have to...
The second month, two cows a day. That's for contempt of court.
May I suggest that for the fight, they seem equally guilty?
What's the moving picture for tomorrow night?
Buck Rides Again.
Gee whiz.
You will both attend the movie.
Hot dog.
You will stand in front of the hall with your backs to the screen while we watch the show.
Mr. Mayor, before you dismiss them, come on now, boys. No hard feelings. Shake hands.
Okay, shake the hand that's going to milk 90 cows, kid.
Next case.
Good night, gentlemen.
Whitey and Moe join Pee-wee in the hallway.
I seen that picture anyway. I seen it in Madison.
No good?
Terrible. Buck rides over the hill, shoots a bandit, rides back over the hill, scoops up the gal. They all live happy ever after. Nothing to it. Hey, a pool room. Come on in, I'll shoot you again.
No, you can't. That's for the mayor and the commissioners.
Those guys got it pretty soft, ain't they? Say, I think I'll run for mayor.
Why don't you? I'll vote for you.
Check.
And you can vote for yourself. That's two.
Look, you and me were supposed to be pals, you understand?
Me too, Whitey.
Can he vote too? Honest?
Yeah, but only once.
You know what I'd make you if I was elected mayor?
What?
Finance commissioner.
Yeah.
What'll I be, Whitey?
The forgotten man. Would I show him an election?
Yes, sirree.
My friends, comes the election, we'll all play pool.
Yippee!
Later, outdoor signs read, Fred Fuller, standing for re-election on the conservative ticket. Tony Panessa for mayor, progressive ticket. Whitey Marsh, Bull Moose ticket, don't be a sucker. Four cows wear banners, each marked with a different word. Together they read, vote for Whitey Marsh. Now in the laundry.
Leave it pretty long so it'll cover that roller skate.
Yeah. Hi, Tony, been scouting around for you. Look, you ain't kidding yourself about you got a chance for mayor, are you?
Well, I have some friends in school.
Oh, sure, I know, but use the neuter, you gotta get around if you're gonna be mayor. Look, I tell you what I'll do. I'll shove you in as one of the commissioners, then you won't feel as though you bit off more than you can chew, see?
There's only six commissioners. You've promised 10 that I know of.
Why, there's no hard feelings after your election. Your boss, then. They gotta take it. Forget yourself. For the good of the school. Tell your friends to vote for me. That's the big deal. I'll treat you right.
You give me an idea, Whitey. I'll think it over.
Atta, kid.
In the hall.
Mousehead. Hiya, big shot. Hey, Freddy. There ain't no reason why fellas running against each other for election can't be friends. You've been mayor for about 6 months now. Don't be sore if the fellas think it's time they had a new one.
It's all right with me, so long as it isn't you.
Whitey pats Freddy on the back. Boys watch the mayor walk away with a sign taped to his back, vote for Whitey. Now in Father Flanagan's office.
Rather staggering, no doubt about that. We've seen him like this before, haven't we, Dave?
Well, what? There's a way out. You refused admission last year to over 800 boys. No rule.
That's true, unfortunately.
Did it ever strike you how many of that 800 offered to pay?
No, how many?
At least a third. And your dormitory so full of boys who can't pay, you couldn't take those in. With that kind of school, you can be financed, comfortably, by parents who will pay you to straighten out their boys. These figures...
Figures, figures, figures. I've made liars out of figures all my life. If I hadn't, there wouldn't be one stone on top of another in Boys Town. Hundreds of boys have gone through here, and they're out in the world now with their heads up. They're making good, every last one of them. That's serving my creator and my country.
In 30 days, Father Flanagan, they'll be obliged to take this place away from you, unless you change your mind.
No use, Burton. He'll do what he thinks is right if the heavens fall down.
You know, figures are the most important...
Pee-wee rushes in.
Later on, youngster.
He turns to go.
Pee-wee. This is Boys Town.
All right, Pee-wee. Go.
He opens drawers.
Oh, you're as cold as Greenland. Getting colder.
He reaches over and opens the middle drawer.
Ah, you're getting warm, Pee-wee. Ah, you're burning up, Pee-wee. You're red hot. You're red hot. There you are.
Grinning, Pee-wee takes a candy.
Hey, Pee-wee. Brush your teeth?
I lost my toothbrush.
You lost your tooth? When, Pee-wee?
Oh, a couple of days.
Flanagan picks up a phone.
Paul, come in here. A couple of days... Oh, Pee-wee, I'm sorry about that. Now, that's my fault. Paul, how in the world could we let Pee-wee go for two whole days without a toothbrush?
Pee-wee stares downward uncomfortably.
Oh, Pee-wee, you've got to have some more candy to make up for that. Paul, I want you to go right down to the storeroom and get him a brand new toothbrush.
Flanagan fills Pee-wee's pocket with candy.
Sorry, how a thing like that could ever happen, because Pee-wee is a good boy and we've been neglecting him. He wouldn't think of coming in here for candy if he hadn't been a good boy. I'll take care of that right away, Paul, and make a big fuss about it. It's a shame.
I'm awfully sorry this happened. I'll get to the bottom of it.
Paul winks at Flanagan.
Maybe I can find my toothbrush.
Oh, you mean maybe someplace you haven't looked, huh?
Yes, Father. It might be there.
Pee-wee. You know, Pee-wee, when you don't look at me straight in the eyes, I think maybe you don't like me.
Pee-wee takes the candy out of his pocket and puts it back in the box as he stares into Father Flanagan's eyes. His head bowed, he turns to go. Stopping, the tot returns one last piece of candy, then steps toward the door. He glances bashfully at Flanagan, then leaves the room. Father Flanagan turns his attention back to Dave and Burton.
You said 30 days, Mr. Burton.
Right.
The only solution you have to offer is to turn away the boys who cannot pay and take in the boys who can.
Every man on your board of directors feels the same way.
I'm afraid we'll have to think of something else, because that cannot be done.
Now in the hall.
Will you leave me alone with the problem?
What are you going to do about it?
Something I do very privately. Say a prayer. We've been through some pretty tough spots together, haven't we?
I can't send boys away, not any of them.
Eddie, if you can pray your way out of this, I'll join the school.
Father Flanagan leaves Dave in the hallway and enters his office. As he walks into the room, his silhouette shows on a wall decorated with a few framed photographs. Serene and poised, his shadow opens a book and leafs through the pages. Later in the auditorium, Freddie stands on a stage before the school. The boys of the commission sit behind him.
And another thing. I'm not going to say anything personal about one of the candidates. I'll say that only to him. Don't forget, a lot of us were pretty rough stuff when we came here, too. But he's run a campaign rotten with lies and mud and promises that he knew were lies when he made them.
The boys whip around to see Whitey marching in place. He wears a top hat and carries a drum major's baton. A whistle pokes from between his lips. Four boys carry signs. Everybody's pal, Whitey Marsh. Use your noodle, vote for Whitey Marsh. Vote for a rootin' tootin' fighting mayor. Behind them, Whitey puffs out his chest as he leads a band of five boys. Mo plays a bass drum. At the end of the little parade, Pee-wee crashes cymbals together. The band stops in front of the stage as Whitey climbs the steps and stands next to Freddie. Father Flanagan joins them on stage.
I finished, Father. Boys, I'm sorry I'm late. Now, as usual, I take no side. The election is your business.
All right, Whitey, it's your turn.
Whitey takes his place and raises his arms in the air.
Friends of Boys Town.
Whitey rolls his eyes upward, then takes his hat off.
Excuse me, Father.
Well, fellas, here we go. Tomorrow is the big day. Now, I'm not much for making long speeches, but it looks to me like you've been singing the same old tune around here all the time. But believe me, if you vote right tomorrow, we'll be swinging that old tune. Yes, sir, fellas, we'll be swinging it. And may the best man win.
He points at himself.
And now, boys, we'll hear from our other candidate, Tony Punnis.
I've been in Boys Town about 5 years. I've always hoped I might be mayor sometime, but there's something I want more than that. Boys Town must always be just what Father Flanagan made it. Must have a purpose, high ideals. Well, I'm not sure of myself, but one of the candidates has proven he's the right man, so... So I retire from the race. I ask my friends to support Freddie Fuller for re-election.
Of all the double-crossing tricks, on the day before election!
Go on, the rest of you.
Okay, boys, quiet. Now, we have various ways here of letting new boys find out how things are done. I hope some of you haven't forgotten how long it took you.
Fellas, now listen to me. Whitey and I have been battling for votes for ourselves. And Tony thought of nothing but Boys Town. If you want a standing vote right now, Tony has it hands down.
You mean hands up, don't you?
If you want Tony for mayor, raise your right hands.
Well, boys, this is very unusual. And a very great honor, Tony. You tried to give it away and they gave it back to you.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We haven't heard from the other candidate.
And I got plenty to say, too. I think you and Tony are a pair of dirty double-crossing guys.
I once told you any time I had the idea I could take you apart, I'd let you know.
Yeah?
Well, I got the idea.
Well, any time's all right
boys,
for
boys,
me,
boys,
you know
boys,
that.
Boys, boys.
Flanagan separates the boys.
Well, it looks like this battle is inevitable. All right, Whitey. But all fights here are according to Hoyle, and they're in the ring.
Okay.
Now in a boxing ring.
Now you break when I tell you. The rounds will be 2 minutes, 1 minute rest.
Half a round, and a good long rest for him.
What are your corners?
In one corner, Freddie holds the ropes and limbers up with deep knee bends. In the opposite corner, Whitey punches and jabs the air. Whitey punches Freddie and he falls back. Freddie stands and jabs at Whitey several times. He knocks Whitey to the floor. Father Flanagan crouches beside him.
One, two.
Whitey pushes himself to his feet and resumes swinging his gloved fists at Freddie. The boys exchange several punches to the face and chest. Father Flanagan watches attentively as he shifts his weight back and forth. Freddie punches Whitey squarely in the face, and Whitey falls flat on his back. In the crowd, Pee-wee covers his face. Flanagan winces, then leans over Whitey.
One, two, three, four, five.
As Whitey stands, he shakes his head. He struggles to keep his balance and takes wide swings at Freddie. Unfazed, Freddie continuously jabs at Whitey's face, then lays him out with a right hook. Tears stream down Pee-wee's face.
One, two, three.
Father Flanagan helps the delirious Whitey to his feet.
All right, Whitey, you've had enough.
He props Whitey against the ropes in the corner of the ring. As Freddie loosens the waistband of Whitey's shorts, Father Flanagan splashes Whitey with water. Then he holds smelling salts under Whitey's nose. Later, Father Flanagan enters his office. He slowly shuffles to his desk, pours a glass of water, and takes a sip. He pours the rest into a small potted plant, then steps toward the window behind his desk. He spots Whitey walking hurriedly down a pathway, suitcase in hand. Flanagan's brow furrows with surprise, then wilts. Heavily, he leans on the windowsill, staring out. Pee-wee scampers in and opens the desk's left drawer. Father Flanagan's gaze remains fixed at the window.
It's in the middle drawer, Pee-wee.
Smiling, Pee-wee takes a piece of candy. At the window, he looks up at Father Flanagan, then outside.
There's Whitey! Where's he going? Whitey!
Father Flanagan stands motionless as Pee-wee rushes off. Outside, Pee-wee chases after Whitey.
Wait for me, Whitey! Hey, wait for me, Whitey!
Pee-wee catches up to him and tugs at his arm.
Hey, where you
go? Go on, beat it, will you?
You run away?
Sure, I'm blowing the plant. Go on back, will you, Pee-wee, where you belong? That's a good kid. On your way.
Put your big mommy's belt, ain't we?
Whitey stops and looks down at Pee-wee.
Oh, go on and beat it, will you? Go ahead.
I'm your belt, Whitey. Everyone.
Oh, I can't be bothered. Go on and beat it, will you?
No, I want to go with you.
Oh, go on and beat it.
No, I want to go with you.
Go on back and spam, will you?
Whitey pushes Pee-wee back. The tot falls to the ground. As Whitey crosses the highway, Pee-wee gets up, burying his face in his arm. As Pee-wee blindly enters the highway, a car speeds toward him. Whitey runs over to Pee-wee, who lies face down on the pavement.
Pee-wee!
Whitey cradles him in his arms and holds him close.
Pee-wee! I didn't mean it. I didn't.
Father Flanagan and a large group of boys run toward Pee-wee and Whitey.
Speak to me, Pee-wee! Oh, God, I'll do anything at all, Pee-wee.
I'll not ride your piggyback. Don't speak to me.
Father Flanagan and the others hastily draw near. Flanagan kneels down and scoops up Pee-wee from Whitey's arms.
I'll carry him, Father.
No, I'll take him.
Pee-wee.
On his knees, Whitey reaches out after Pee-wee as Flanagan carries him off. The other boys follow him up the driveway. Cradling the limp boy in his arms, the father looks ahead, gravely. Behind them, Whitey shuffles along, sniveling helplessly. Later at the infirmary, Father Flanagan and a nun watch a doctor examine Pee-wee. Whitey opens the door, tears rolling down his face. The nun approaches him.
No one is allowed.
Whitey stares into the room in anguish. The nun gently nudges him away and closes the door. Now, Whitey walks the grounds aimlessly. He swallows hard, then stops. In front of him, dozens of boys kneel in rows, their hands folded in prayer. The boys pray with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Whitey slowly walks past the rows of praying boys, looking downward and fidgeting with his jacket. As he reaches the last row, he starts to walk behind the boys, then stops and holds onto a slender tree branch. Starting to sob again, Whitey removes his cap. He clutches it and kneels behind Tony. Tony glances over his shoulder at Whitey.
Christ our Lord.
Rising to his feet, Whitey puts on his cap. He covers his troubled face with his hand and moves on, trembling. He stumbles past the statue of the boy with outstretched arms, then listlessly walks down the driveway headed away from Boys Town. Later, in the city, Whitey walks along a sidewalk, obliviously bumping into people. In the evening air, he stares straight ahead, his mouth agape. His cheeks shine with tears. Unflinching, Whitey knocks shoulders with several passers-by, his wide, delirious gaze fixed in front of him. A police officer watches as Whitey passes in a daze. Later, on an empty street, Whitey stops to rest on a fire hydrant. He bends over, then looks at the windows of a nearby building. Lettering painted on the glass reads, Central Exchange Bank. A gunshot pierces the window of the bank. Whitey looks around terrified, then runs down a nearby alley. Hiding in a doorway, Whitey notices a head peeking out from around the corner. It's his brother, Joe. Joe leads two men into the alley. Whitey steps out.
Joe Marsh!
Joe shoots Whitey in the leg.
Joe, it's me, Whitey!
Joe pockets his gun and the three men run over to Whitey. A policeman blows his whistle. Another taps the ground with his billy club.
Come on, let's get out of here!
Yeah, come on, take the car, we're the Bogues Tavern.
But how about you?
You heard me, get going.
I'll meet you later.
Joe's partners run off.
Sorry, kid, I didn't know it was you. Where to get you?
Right here.
Can you stand up?
Yeah.
Come on, we gotta get out of here.
Let's go.
As Joe lifts Whitey to his feet, Whitey's cap gets left behind on the ground. Joe helps his limping brother down the alleyway. A policeman stops and looks around. Joe and Whitey go unnoticed. Joe opens the door to a church and scans the inside. He helps Whitey into the empty sanctuary. Joe carefully sits Whitey on the floor, props him against the wall, and shuts the door to the street. Whitey grimaces as Joe checks out his leg.
Ow!
It's not bad. You'll be okay. Just lie still. What are you doing out of school?
I walked out.
You walked back, get me? You're going straight. That's why I put you there. Stay right here till I send for you.
How'd you escape, Joe?
Never mind that. Now listen, Whitey. No squawking or squealing.
No.
Don't talk until you're dead sure I got away.
All right, Joe.
Keep that leg quiet. Forget me, kid. My road's a lot too tough.
He ruffles Whitey's hair.
So long.
Joe, don't go.
As Joe runs out, Whitey drags himself along the floor. Now in the infirmary, Father Flanagan talks with the doctor.
Unless there's a concussion, he'll be all right. Take a little time, though.
Pee-wee, lad. I'll keep the candy on tap.
Flanagan winks at the bandaged boy, and Pee-wee winks back.
You're wanted on the telephone, Father.
Thank you, sister.
Father Flanagan picks up the phone.
Hello?
Father Flanagan? Whitey's hurt.
He's hurt?
Yeah, he's over in the church at 19th and Dodge.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Later in the church, Flanagan approaches Whitey, whose eyes are closed.
It was all my fault, but I didn't mean it, honest. I didn't mean it. Oh, let him live. Please make him get well.
Flanagan jiggles the doorknob, and Whitey opens his eyes.
Are you hurt badly, Whitey?
Who told you?
I don't know. You?
I ain't talking. How's Pee-wee?
He's all right. He'll pull through. Can you walk at all?
Sure.
Flanagan helps him to his feet.
Oh. Here, put your arm over my shoulder.
Later, outside the infirmary, Flanagan approaches five boys.
Good evening, brothers.
Boys, you should be in bed, shouldn't you?
Whitey's up there, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
There's trouble, and we know it.
A car pulls up the driveway. The vehicle stops by Flanagan and the boys, and four men wearing suits get out.
Evening, Father. Did one of your boys come home wounded?
Yes, Whitey Marsh.
There was a bank robbery. The night watchman was killed.
Robbery? Well, what has that got to do with Whitey?
I found this cap.
And who are you?
Reporter, Morning Dispatch.
The boy's name is in it, Father. And Boys Town. I'm afraid there's something to it this time.
Where did you find this?
In the alley near the bank. There was a trail of blood to a church, but we were a little late. He'd gone.
Well, yes, I got him.
Where is he?
In the infirmary.
Well, I'll have to take him in.
But he's been wounded. He shouldn't be moved.
I can't help that.
Sheriff, I'm the head of a community with complete autonomy and a better record than any in the state. I'll be responsible for Whitey and until he's able to be questioned.
Well, if the boy's hurt, I'll take your word, of course. But I'll have to leave a deputy. Tim, you stand by.
No.
I'll call later.
Three of the men get back in the car and drive off. Now in the infirmary, Father Flanagan approaches a nun tending to Whitey.
The wound is superficial, Father. Nothing to worry about.
Leave us alone, please, sister.
The nun takes a tray of small bottles from the bedstand and leaves. Father Flanagan stares down at Whitey, who looks away.
All right, Whitey, let's have it.
What?
The whole story.
There ain't nothing to tell.
Stop that. They found your cap near the bank, and they followed your trail to the church where I found you.
Why don't you leave me alone?
If I hadn't got there first, you'd be in jail now. Whitey.
I don't believe you're guilty. You might as well save your breath. I ain't talking.
It was a bad day when I brought you here.
I've always said there was no such thing in the world as a bad boy. I've built my life on it. You're the only boy in all these years that hasn't had a heart somewhere that I could reach somehow, sometime.
Tears roll down Whitey's cheek.
Whitey, over 200 boys have a home here, but tomorrow night they won't have any home, and that's up to you, Whitey. Because I never worked as hard with any boy in my life. I never had to.
I don't know nothing to tell, nothing to tell nobody.
Were you mixed up in robbing this bank and killing that watchman?
I heard some shots. I got scared and I ran out to the alley and I got plugged. And then somebody picked me up and took me to the place where you found me. That's all I know.
You're lying. You know a lot more than that.
I just got to telling you all I know.
Who picked you up in that alleyway and carried you? You're shielding someone. Are you going to see these boys turned out into the streets, into alleys, into reformatories, and worse, lose their home? All right, Whitey. That licks me. Yes, it was a sad, bad day when I brought you here. It was indeed. The sheriff left a deputy to watch you. I'll turn you over to the police tomorrow.
Father Flanagan slowly steps away. Whitey presses a hand over his face. Outside the room, the deputy leans his ear against the door.
He doesn't feel like talking tonight.
No.
Outside, Father Flanagan finds Dave smoking a cigarette by his car.
Well, my friend, you're sticking to the finish, huh?
Eddie. Come on down and see Hargraves. They're getting out extras, bad ones. They've got the case tried,
and they've got you hung, unless you can do something about it.
A small, disheveled boy approaches them.
Is this it? Is it Boys Town?
Yes.
I got here, didn't I?
Have you come far?
Are you Father Flanagan?
Yes. How far, son?
I hitchhiked. Maybe a week, but I got here.
I suppose you're hungry.
Oh, yes, sir.
Eddie, please, we have to get downtown.
Freddie!
Yes, Father. Freddie, see that he has a bath and some food and a place to sleep. What's your name, son?
Charlie Haynes.
All right, Charlie. Tomorrow we'll talk things over, huh?
Oh, thank you, Father.
Freddie leads Charlie away. Flanagan trades a knowing look with Dave. Then they get in the car. Now, in the infirmary, the deputy nods off in his chair next to Whitey's bed. Whitey looks over at him, and his eyes shift in thought.
Oh!
What's the matter?
I'm going. It's all over.
What's the matter, kid?
I want to make a confession.
Oh. What? All right, let's have it.
You got to get Father Flanagan. Don't want to talk to nobody else.
Oh, okay.
The deputy rushes out the door and down the hallway. As he opens another door and runs in, Whitey props himself up in bed. He puts on his jacket and grabs a pair of pants. Out in the hall, he hops on his good leg toward the same door the deputy opened. As he reaches for the handle, it swings open. Whitey stays out of sight, tucked behind the door as a nun steps out and walks off. Whitey quickly exits. Now, Mo and Freddy watch from a window as Whitey leaves the infirmary building and hops down a flight of stairs outside. The two boys follow. Later in the dark, Whitey hobbles down a dirt road lined with trees and a split rail fence. Mo and Freddy hurry after him. They watch as Whitey comes to an abandoned tavern. Whitey pushes open a large wooden gate and stumbles to the front porch. Mo and Freddy stay behind the fence that surrounds the property.
Beat it, Mo. I'll wait here.
From inside the tavern, Joe spots Whitey.
It's my kid brother.
Joe pulls Whitey inside to a chair. The two other robbers eye Whitey.
How'd you find
him? I heard you tell these guys where to go.
What are you doing? Stare in a cop's hands?
Nothing like that.
Lay off that stuff, Rod.
Listen, Joe, you gotta make a break. I kept my mouth shut, so he told nobody nothing, but I'm as good as arrested for that job down there. I had to even make a sneak to get here.
Oh, you're good.
Whoa!
Wait a minute. Let's get this.
That school with those kids. They're gonna be closed up tight. Those kids set to reform school. Taken away from Father Flanagan. I don't care what they do to me, but I ain't gonna see those kids tossed down like that, Joe. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm telling you straight, get out, take your chances, because the minute I get back, I'm gonna spill the beans. I don't want to do it, Joe, but I gotta do it.
God. Joe smiles at Whitey.
It's okay with me, kid. On your way. We'll make a break.
Oh, Joe.
Stay where you are. We break when we said we would, before daylight. And the kid sticks until we're well on our way. Get it?
The men point guns at Joe and Whitey. Now in the city.
There you are! Get your paper! Paper!
Paper!
Paper, boy.
Authorities threaten closed Boys Town. Sorry, Father. Extra! Boys Town suspect murder, bank robbery, extra!
Now in Hargrave's office.
Hello, Father. I can't...
Mr. Hargraves, what kind of Christian logic can allow you to destroy us before anybody gets to the bottom of tonight's business?
Well, that sounds pretty terrible, as you put it.
I don't know how much this boy had to do with it. I can't get him to talk, but I have a hunch he's not guilty. And I think you should pull your punches until somebody finds out something and does it definitely. Now, I really do.
Father, I left this office an hour ago because women's clubs, societies, everybody was calling.
All I'm asking for is a little time.
My friendship for you is definitely known. If I pull any punches... They'd say I forgot my duty as a newspaper man for you. Well, I can't stand for that.
All right, supposing tomorrow morning you find out the whole thing is wrong. Suppose you find out that the boy isn't guilty and that my record is clean and clear of anything like this. How will you feel then? You are my friend. Now tell me, how will you feel? All I want is a little time to let the thing clear itself, that's all.
Excuse me.
Hargrave steps to his desk.
Yes? Police headquarters? Oh. Your friend Whitey Marsh has escaped. Two of the other boys went with him. I believe you made yourself responsible for him. That means something like accessory after the fact. Well, I'm afraid that's all. Sorry, Father. Good night. Hello, Reynolds. That boy Whitey Marsh escaped from Boys Town. Two of the other boys went with him. Put that where the public can see it. And Reynolds, feature an editorial against sentimental rubbish about juvenile derelicts.
Now, in a Boys Town dorm, Mo wakes up two boys who help spread the word.
Whitey's at Boak's Tavern.
Whitey's at Boak's Tavern.
Whitey's at Boak's Tavern.
Boys leave their beds, then file quietly from the room and down flights of stairs. Soon, dozens of boys walk out of the building. At the infirmary, Mo rouses a boy sleeping in a chair at Pee-wee's side.
Whitey's a Boak's Tavern.
Pee-wee looks up as they leave the room. Now outside, boys converge from every direction, marching down a dark country lane. 100 boys run through an open field, weaving past haystacks aglow in the moonlight. Now, Dave drops Flanagan off at Boys Town. Flanagan plods up the front steps. Inside, he enters the infirmary.
Freddy! Tony!
He approaches Pee-wee asleep in bed, and a nun enters.
Sister, what's happened? The boys, they're all gone.
I don't know, Father.
I do, Father. They've come to Boak's Tavern after Whitey.
Boak's Tavern?
Please, find Whitey, Father.
All right, Pee-wee. You go to sleep now.
Outside, Flanagan gets into a car. He drives off. Meanwhile, the mob of boys and Freddy meet up in the woods by the old tavern's fence. The boys carry clubs and sticks. As Freddy leads them onward, a pair of round lights flashes across them. Flanagan's car approaches, and the boys stop marching. The priest gets out and steps over to the head of the mob.
Freddy, Mo, Tony, haven't I troubles enough without all of you going crazy?
We're not crazy, Father. Whitey's with his pals, and we're going to get them.
You'll do nothing of the kind. They may be murderers. There's been a man killed.
They can't kill all of us, Father.
So that's the way you feel about it, huh?
Keep out of it, Father, will you, please?
No. Bless your hearts. Turn out those lights. Let's go.
Flanagan leads the marching boys down the dirt lane. Along the way, boys pick up more sticks, their faces stern and determined. They follow the long split rail fence to the tavern gate, which they push open. From inside the house, one of the robbers watches the approaching mob.
There they come.
At a table, Whitey sits with Joe and the other robber. Whitey pushes the man's gun to the floor.
Don't move.
Joe holds the man at gunpoint. As the other robber aims his pistol at the boys, Whitey decks him and takes the gun. Now, Flanagan and the boys engulf the house, breaking through windows and doors. Shattered glass and splintering wood spray inward as the group climbs in from every direction. Whitey whips around, pistol in hand, and the boys grab him. As Flanagan holds his arms out, barring a chaotic mass of boys, Joe waves his free hand.
Clear away, then. We're coming through, Father.
Pointing his gun, Joe steps forward. Flanagan punches him. As the boys restrain Joe and the robbers, Flanagan holds out his arms.
Quiet, boys. Now, there's just one thing I want to know. The rest is for the police.
Wait a minute. Don't hand the kid over. Hey, Whitey, come here and tell him. Let him go. Come on, Whitey, spill everything.
I couldn't tell you nothing before. I didn't have no partner out in the bank. I couldn't tell you because I couldn't give my brother up. I didn't come here to make a sneak with him. I came here to tell Joe that I wasn't going to see Boys Town smashed. That's what I came here for. I told him I wasn't going to give him up, Father, that's all. I told him I was going straight back to you and tell the truth, but these other two guys, they held me or they wouldn't let me go. That's the truth about tonight. I've been good and rotten at Boys Town, but that's the truth about tonight, Father. I couldn't squeal on my brother.
Later at Boys Town, a band plays in front of a stage decorated with banners. Dave, carrying a long receipt, pulls Flanagan aside.
Eddie, shut your eyes. Now open them again, and this hand is paralyzed from signing for registered letters.
$50,000.
And that gorgeous color, black. You win.
He hands Flanagan the tiger face toy.
What would it cost to build a dormitory for 500 boys?
$250,000.
Flanagan gives back the toy and Dave grimaces.
Come on, sir.
Flanagan goes to a table, taps a gavel, and holds up a hand.
Boys, I have a startling thing to say to you. In our midst is a lad who has refused to act as an official here. Now that is reprehensible. He is notoriously shy, a shrinking violet. But no excuse is good enough for refusing duty when Boys Town calls. The present mayor, Tony Ponessa, and the rest of the candidates agree with me. No boy can sidestep the call of duty.
I ask for a standing vote, acclamation. I nominate Whitey Marsh.
In the audience, cheering boys pull Whitey to his feet. As Freddie shakes his hand, Whitey softly receives the gesture with both hands. Moe pats him on the shoulder. As Whitey walks slowly towards the stage, boys pat him on the back. In a suit and tie, Pee-wee shouts out, seated on Moe and Freddie's shoulders.
I found Whitey!
Whitey mounts the stage and looks out over the crowd, his eyes brim with tears.
I wished I could think of something to say. And if I could think of something, I wished I could say it. I'm gonna try to make, I'm gonna try to help to make, I'm gonna try to help to keep Boys Town the kind of place it. Oh, what a guy you picked to be mayor.
Whitey hugs Father Flanagan, his face overcome with emotion.
There is no bad boy.
On the lawn of Boys Town, the statue of the boy with outstretched arms fills the screen as words appear. The end. Cast: Spencer Tracy as Father Flanagan, Mickey Rooney as Whitey Marsh, Henry Hull as Dave Morris, Gene Reynolds as Tony Panessa, Edward Norris as Joe Marsh, Jonathan Hale as John Hargraves, Bobs Watson as Pee Wee, Frankie Thomas as Freddie Fuller, Sidney Miller as Mo Khan, and others. Fade to black.